Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms Podcast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Heather here.
And Brittany. Happy Thanksgiving week.
I do not know what has happened to this year. I don't understand how it's Thanksgiving already.
Wild. It's a wild time. We don't have much for an intro today except like housekeeping stuff. We want to remind you that we have all of the gift guides. Okay. Black Friday's coming. Cyber Monday's coming. We will be all over Instagram.
Get those hot little fingers ready.
As much as possible to any, we will only share like things we buy or things we think are a really good deal that we would buy. So follow us on Instagram if you are not doing that. What else?
If you haven't already, we would love for you to rate and subscribe us, share us with a friend. I don't know about you, but that's the way I find all of my podcasts is through recommendations of friends. And honestly, there's really no kinder feedback than saying you shared us with a friend of yours. And also when you rate and subscribe us on your podcast player, it helps other people find us. So that would just be such a nice little holiday gift to us.
Yes, we would love that. Technically, you can only rate us and write a review on Apple Podcasts, which I know is very annoying because I'm a Spotify listener of podcasts, but there's no rating system on there.
Really?
Isn't that annoying?
You know, I was more aghast at not using the podcast app, but I have been thinking of switching it up lately because I cannot get on board with that new update they've done.
That was my problem. That's what made me make the switch.
But all my podcasts are saved in there.
It is annoying. Yeah. To switch them all over.
Right. This reminds me of when I use Safari exclusively.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
One of me. All my passwords and stuff were saved on Safari, so I couldn't make the transition to Chrome.
And it took a full month of work to transition.
It's so hard. So listen, if you're stuck on Apple Podcasts too, I get it. But while you're there, rate and subscribe.
Also, if you're not there, could you just go there real quick and do it? Thank you.
We're very neat of you today.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We're thankful for you. But I have one more thing to be needy about. We are still collecting Okayest Mom moments. Make sure you get yours in. These have been hilarious to read, and I want to keep this hilarity going. If you go to okayestmoms.com/OMM, you can submit it there and be on a future podcast episode.
And no moment is too small. I've had a couple people mention like, oh, I have one, but I don't think it's any good. Like, trust us, it's good.
Yeah.
It's funnier than you think. And we've all been there.
Yes, exactly. I love it. Should we talk about what this episode is about?
Oh, maybe. So on today's podcast, we talked to Denizia of the Montessori Life. She talks about being in a multicultural family and raising multicultural kids. She is Mexican and her husband is Indian. And so she talks about how they merge the two cultures, specifically when it comes to holidays. We totally missed the boat on these holidays that we're going to talk about, Dia de los Muertos and Diwali. But, you know, scheduling and trying to match up people's schedules so we could record got a little tangled. But nonetheless, day late, dollar short, here we are. And
that could be our catchphrase.
It really could. So she has such great information. We're so thankful she sat down to talk with us and share all of her insight with us. So let's dive in.
And we're back with our guest. Hi, Denizia. We're so excited to have you.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and your family?
Okay. So let's see. Where do I start? I was born and raised in Sacramento. I know it sounds boring, but I really love it here. More specifically, we are in Elk Grove. I am a teacher now for over 10 years. I have my own preschool. I met my husband, Jason, about 11 years now. And we've been married for about 8 years. And he is also from Sacramento. So we met when I was in college. We have two kids, a boy and a girl, and yeah, just, you know, trying to get through this pandemic and parenting. So here we are.
So now you and your husband are in a multicultural, what you refer to it as?
You can say multicultural or biracial, like a family. Yeah. So, my husband's Indian. And his dad's family is from Punjab in India, and his mom's is from Fiji. And then my family is from Mexico. So my dad was born and raised in Mexico, came over as an immigrant. My mom was born here. So my parents met here while they were in Sacramento. My grandmother is still alive, but she came over too as an immigrant from Mexico. It's been interesting, but also fun trying to figure out how to incorporate both cultures into just our, you know, everyday lives and teaching our children to value both of them, you know, not just one over the other or,
So we wanted to have you on to talk about being in a I keep trying to put both of them together.
I do that all the time.
Being in a multicultural family, but also talking about the holidays that you celebrate that maybe most people don't know much about. So let's start with Dia de los Muertos. Can you give us a quick history of the celebration and why you celebrate it, why it's important in your culture, and what that celebration typically looks like?
Yeah. So Dia de los Muertos, also known as Day of the Dead. It's a time to honor your ancestors and loved ones that have passed away. And it comes from indigenous cultures of Mexico. So I feel like this didn't get as popular here in the United States until the movie Coco came out, but it was always celebrated in Mexico. So these celebrations are held on after Halloween, so on November 1st and 2nd. Which happen also to be two major Catholic holy days, which is All Saints Days and All Souls Days. And so what happens on that day or on those 2 days is people make something called an ofrenda, which is kind of like an altar. And so they do this in their homes and then also throughout cemeteries. And the ofrendas are covered in marigolds, and they put those marigolds on the altar because their bright orange color is thought to guide souls back from the afterlife. So it's like a light kind of. On the ofrenda, people leave food, pan dulce, which is like a sweet Mexican bread, and even favorite items like tequila. Like I just saw over at my aunt's house last weekend, she had an altar of her husband's brother, and they had like his favorite tequila and beer up there. You can kind of, you know, make it specific to the person that passed away. There's also candles, photos, other personal items. Some people even burn like incense, and that is thought to clean the air and have the prayers lifted. And then calaveras, which is the skulls, and that's like, you know, a really, really popular part of the holiday, is just people paint their faces like it and dress up. So it's a big deal for us in our culture to dress up.
I love that. My husband is Catholic, and he wanted this year to do an ofrenda for, he lost his mom and grandfather this year. And he just like kind of casually mentioned it. I'm like, I don't know if that's, you know, it's not really part of our culture. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I say do it. So the reason being is that I think it just, I feel like when you teach your children or incorporate these things into your family, even though it's not part of your culture, it's still really cool to expose them to that. And he is Catholic. And so did he grow up Catholic too?
Yeah.
So Dia de los Muertos came from when the Spaniards came over to Mexico, they kind of mixed their culture with Catholicism. And so that's how it came up. So I guess the Catholicism kind of ties into the Dia de los Muertos a little bit. So I say do it. I think that'd be really cool.
No.
Yeah.
Well, now we missed the boat, but
next year. There's always next year.
So mad at me because I was just afraid of, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, of course, but
no, I think you should do it. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you have, you know, we know you have good intentions and I think it'd be fun for the kids.
All right. Yeah. Well, we are going to have to do it next year. So the movie Coco brought a lot of attention to the holiday, as you said. Do you think that movie accurately portrayed it?
I do. I think it was super accurate, and I like thinking about the movie now, there's a part in the movie where the grandma kind of like throws it's a chancla, which is like the sandal, at the musician. And I don't know if my mom's going to hear this podcast or not, but I specifically remember my mom throwing her shoe at me and my sister when she was like upset with us. And I don't know, we maybe were like 8 and 6, you know? But it's just kind of like those small parts throughout the whole movie are very much, exactly what our culture is. And there's other parts in that movie too. So like you find mariachi, which are, you know, musicians, and that's a big part of our culture. There's celebrities like Frida, and Lucha Libre. And then there's also the Cholo dog. So, it's spelled XOLO. And so the X is pronounced like a ch sound, like CH. And so in the movie, there's Dante, and he's a Cholo dog. And so it's just a hairless like breed, but it's the national dog of Mexico. So I think there's all kinds of things that they tied in together. You know, like the whole reason we do the Dia de los Muertos is to remember people who have passed. And then they have that song, the popular song, Remember Me. So I think they did a really good job. I liked it.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that because I loved that movie. Yeah. And you know, because it's not a part of what we celebrate, I didn't know if I was just being a dumb white girl or not.
No. It was great. I loved it. I liked the way that Disney did everything for that movie.
It's such a favorite in our house too. My husband actually minored in Spanish. Okay. And so he feels very one at one with the culture.
Does he speak Spanish?
He does pretty well. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's fluent, but he's like a couple notches below fluent. He's pretty good.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's awesome.
You didn't? Yeah.
No. God.
We actually were debating
the other day.
We were debating the other day what being fluent in another language means. And I said, you have to be able to like debate something or like explain some like high level thing using, you know, and he is like, then I'm fluent for sure. So
I feel like you just need to be conversational.
Yeah.
Right.
Real life. Right.
Yeah. He's definitely conversational for sure. And so, and he's actually trying to teach our daughter Spanish too. She's very interested in learning, and her accent is like uncannily good. I'm like, are you a white girl? I don't know.
She's
a very good mimicker.
Is he Hispanic at all or no?
No, he's not. He just really enjoyed it in high school and then wanted to study it further in college. And so he ended up minoring in it, and he uses it a good amount at work. And so he fancies himself a Spanish speaker.
Yeah.
He's actually messaging me from the other room right now because he's listening.
Talking being so nice about it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we just have such a love for the Mexican culture and love Coco, and it's just such a good story. It makes me cry.
I know, it makes me cry too. So there's Mama Coco, which is the grandma, right? The great great grandma. So she looks just like my grandma. Aww. And so my nephew used to call her Mama Coco because it looks just like her. I mean, she's not in a wheelchair. My grandma's like 93, and I'm always like, she's such an OG because she lives in Oak Park by herself.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
But she's they look the same. It's kind of funny.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I'm just glad to hear that it holds up too, because I feel like living in California, I feel like I have a pretty good grasp of Mexican culture, but obviously I have no firsthand experience of it. And I feel like it really captured, you know, having grown up with Mexican friends and things like that. Like the scene at the dinner table where the grandma's just like loading up tamales on his plate.
Oh my gosh. So you can never eat enough. Like you can never say no. That's a thing.
Well, speaking of food, tell us about, I feel like every celebration across any culture, no matter what it is, food is always plays a big part. So tell us about the food associated with Day of the Dead.
So for Día de los Muertos, a popular food is the pan de muerto, which is like the pan dulce that we had talked about earlier. And it kind of has like an orange zest to it with like a sugar topping. And then there's sugar skulls. There's also tamales, which is, you just mentioned the tamales from the movie. And then there's something called champurrado, which is kind of like a Mexican hot chocolate. It's really thick. It's really good. And then there's moles and let's see what else. I'd say that's about it. So just like the traditional Mexican food. It's more like the winter season of Mexican food. So like the pozoles, the tamales, all that stuff, I'd say is more made like in the fall and winter months when it's colder.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's more like comfort food. Is that kind of?
Yes. Yeah.
I love it.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's something you wish more people understood about Dia de los Muertos? Because like you said, I think it really didn't come into like the general consciousness up until a couple years ago. I do remember in high school Spanish learning about it very briefly. But other than that, like I really don't remember it much.
So I think it's important to make sure that we talk about Dia de los Muertos not being Mexican Halloween. So a lot of people think that we just kind of dress up because it's right after Halloween. And so they think that it's, you know, just our version of Halloween, and it's not, there's nothing scary about it. You know, there's no witches or ghosts or nothing like that. And it just, I think it's a moment for you to kind of reflect upon your life and the cycle of life and death. So it's more of like, I guess more something to be like looked at as a loving thing and not so much like as a scary thing. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Does your family get together too and celebrate together, or is this something that you kind of do in your own individual households?
You can, but my husband and I were talking about this. He wants to do one with just our family next year, but have his family members who have passed away too. And so I think moving forward, we're going to only include the people that, you know, that were close to us. So like, for example, if it was an ofrenda at my parents' house, I probably wouldn't have pictures of his grandparents there because my family didn't really, they weren't too close with them, but here in our household, we would have that. So I think everyone kind of does their own ofrendas and their own celebrations and puts those photos of the family members who have passed that were close to them. So, yeah.
I love that. I love that way to like merge both sides of the family.
I know. And so he brought it up earlier and I was like, yeah, we should, include your family too, because I mean, even though they're not Mexican or they weren't part of our culture, I think it'd be cool for the kids to have, their Indian ancestors or relatives in the ofrenda. So.
So early November is a busy time of year for your family.
Yes.
Because you also celebrate Diwali.
Yes.
Can you give us a rundown of what that is and what it typically looks like for your family?
Yeah. So I want to just start by saying it's not pronounced Diwali. A lot of people say the W, like the true, you know, way that we normally say it, but it's actually Diwali with a V. So Diwali is something that I didn't learn about until I married Jason. Actually more recently because we've had kids. So I want to make sure that, you know, they're learning about these things too. So Diwali just means Festival of Lights. So many religions celebrate this in their own way, including, so like the Hindu faiths, the Sikh faiths, and then the Buddhist faiths. My husband specifically is Sikh. So although each religion has their own version of the celebration, the common theme or thread is that is the victory of good over evil, or light overcomes darkness. So that's like the basic understanding of why Diwali is celebrated. It also lasts for 5 days. So at the end of October or early November, depending on the calendar, on the first day, people set up for Diwali by lighting oil lamps or candles. And then there's also something called Rangoli, which is something that I did with my students last week. And it's kind of like a sand art or a form of art that you can make with sand. You can do it with chalk. Some people even make it with a rice flour. So we put these at the front of our homes just to kind of like bring in good faith and good news and just good things, I guess you can say. Yeah. And so each day in Diwali is represents something different. And then again, this is different depending on the faith or the religion. But day two is for shopping and cooking. Day three is the darkest day of the lunar calendar. And so that's when the oil lamps are lit to worship the goddess of wealth. And then there's also day four, and it's when the families all share a meal. So last Thursday, my mother-in-law had us all over for like this huge meal, and she cooked all day, and everything was from scratch, like 100% from scratch. It was so good. And then day five celebrates the bond between brothers and sisters.
Now, does day five have a special name?
I don't think so. Not that I know of.
Okay. Yeah. So this is going to sound really stupid, but hear me out. So I have noticed, so you probably know this about us, but we are major reality TV junkies.
I know. Yes. I see that all the time.
I have noticed Indian culture being portrayed more often on reality shows. Bravo now has a whole, which of course I cannot think
family
of
the karma.
Family Karma,
it's
which
so good.
A group of Indian friends who all grew up together. There's also a show on Bravo, of course, called Married to Medicine, and their newest cast member is Indian. I believe she's Sikh as well. And she does a special ceremony with her children. She has a boy and a girl. And she grew up with sisters, so she never got to participate in that day. And they did like this special ceremony where they exchanged bracelets, and it was really cute.
So I think what you're talking about is Rukri, and that is,
yes.
Yeah. So that is not part of Diwali. That's a different time of the year. Okay. So I'd say, I think that one is like in April. That's like more like springtime.
It seems springtime, but the brothers and the sisters thing caught my eye.
Yeah. So what happens is the sisters make bracelets, and they go over to either your brother or your cousin's house. So if you don't have a sibling, you can go to your cousin's house. Or even if you do have siblings, you can still go to your cousin's house. And you tie the bracelet onto your boy cousins. And so what the boy cousins have to do, or usually end up doing, is give money in exchange for the bracelets. So it's kind of like a I'm here for you type of exchange, or I guess, like a way of just saying like, I see you, like I care for you, and I'm here for you.
Yeah, I know so many cultures. I feel like, you know, like focusing on family is such a generic, like kind of catchphrase that we all kind of throw around. But what I've appreciated from what I've learned about Indian culture, that they have such specific ways to honor their relationship with different family members. And that just seems more special to me than just like, oh, family is so important.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Specific tangible ways to show that.
So my kids did that too. They did that this year. They didn't do it last year, but they did it this year for the first time. So my mother-in-law brought over some bracelets for my daughter to tie on my son's arm. So yeah, it was pretty special. We took some pictures. It was fun. Yeah.
Aww. Love it. How old are your kids?
So Ava is 6 and Lucas is 5.
Are they in school yet?
Yes, they're both in school.
Do they celebrate any of these holidays in school, or are you trying to facilitate that at all?
You know, I think it just depends on the teacher. I don't think that they would say no if we, you know, asked to bring something in for the holiday. Like I know my son's teacher did say, if you celebrate anything this month, like let us know and we'll talk about it. Yeah. So that's what I do too. So like for my students, even if it's something that we don't celebrate, like we always celebrate the Chinese New Year, even though we aren't Chinese, but it's just fun. I think it's fun to incorporate that, you know, but in their classes so far this year, they haven't celebrated anything. But last year, my daughter's teacher was really good about talking about Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all kinds of other, you know, holidays that we really did, you know, knew nothing about.
Yeah. I have guilt over this with my kids that we didn't do it earlier in their life. My kids are 9 and 7. And I just feel like we should have celebrated more earlier. But I mean, you know how it goes.
I mean, you can do it now. Do they ask about it now?
We're trying now. Okay. Obviously we need to know about the food for this holiday too. That's always the best part.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So, like I said, my mother-in-law made a huge spread for, last Thursday. And so it was a lot of just traditional Indian food, and sweets. So sweets are kind of like a big part of this holiday, or giving sweets. Actually, giving sweets is just kind of a big thing for the Indian culture altogether. When you get a wedding invitation, you might get like a box of sweets, Indian sweets, or like for Rukri, that's another thing. We were talking about that earlier. The girls also bring some sweets for their boy cousins, or make some for their brothers. And then let's see, what did we have? We had samosas, chicken curry, garbanzo beans, which is called chole. And then, we also had some gulab jamun, which is a sweet. It kind of tastes like a donut dipped in like maple syrup.
I'm in.
It's so good. So it sounds like it would be super sweet, and it is, but it's just like just the right amount because they're small. They're not big.
Oh,
yeah.
Yum.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good.
So in the spirit of talking about these holidays, we know nothing about, Brittany, you mentioned you weren't aware of some of the other Jewish holidays. Are there other Indian holidays that you guys celebrate that maybe aren't so popular that we would know of?
I would say just those two, for now, the Rukri and then also just Diwali, but, not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Is Holi a big one or no?
So I celebrate that with my students. I've actually never celebrated that with my in-laws or with my husband's family. But I do that every single year. So that is super fun. And it kind of reminds me of like the color run. I don't know if you've ever done the color run and they throw like the powder in the air. So we do that every April. It's usually like April 2nd, I think it is. And we go outside and we throw the color in the air, and it's kind of like, celebrating spring or the coming of spring, something new, you know, new growth, that kind of thing.
Okay. I'm cutting this part out too, but I just saw this happen on 90 Day Fiancé. And they,
oh my God, said, you and your shows.
So fun.
It is so fun. Yeah. Yeah.
But look how much more representation Indian culture is getting.
That's true.
Reality TV, but I mean, still.
Yeah. Better than nothing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh God, we have a problem. Okay.
Well, I just want to know where you find the time. Cause I'm like, I always tell my husband, I'm like, I need to like start watching these shows. And he's not the kind of guy to like watch, you know, reality TV. But that's
neither was my husband.
So that's always been my thing, you know? And since we got married or since we got together, like he likes to watch other shows or like, you know, Netflix shows, but reality TV was always kind of my thing. And so I kind of stopped and now I'm like, I feel like I really need to get back into it.
You need to reclaim your identity of a reality.
Yeah, I need to. You're right.
You just have to get them on board. If you just have it on in the background, then they just start asking questions. And the next thing they know, they're watching it too.
It's impossible not to be.
Yeah, that's funny.
So you also teach preschool. What is your approach to teaching holidays in the classroom?
Okay, so my approach is exposure. I think exposure is key. Of course, you know, the preschoolers, with them being so young, I don't expect them to remember or honestly even understand what each holiday means or what it represents. But I think exposure is key in getting them to open up their minds and their hearts, and kind of like developing a respect and even enthusiasm for diversity and different cultures. So last week we celebrated both the Día de los Muertos and then Diwali. And so we celebrated with food, crafts, music, books. We talked a little bit about, you know, what each holiday means or represents. And it's just a new experience for them. Sometimes they'll try a new food and they like it, and sometimes they don't. And I'm like, you know what? As long as you tried it, I just want you to try new things. And trying new things is our thing, and that's why we do it, you know, just the exposure. And I think it's fun.
I think that early exposure is so key, because the earlier they start learning about these things, I mean, even just hearing words like Diwali or Dia de los Muertos, I think that instantly takes any weirdness out of it for them. And it makes it less strange. And it's like, oh yeah, I remember hearing something about that. Like, it can't be that weird because my teacher was talking about it.
So one of my students is a quarter Mexican. Her dad is half Mexican. And so she all day was asking me, how do you pronounce Dia de los Muertos? How do you pronounce it? And she was so excited to say it, you know, perfectly. So by the time her dad came to pick her up, she was so excited to tell him. So, you know, it's just things like that. Yeah, it was really sweet.
Do you have any tips for interracial families? Celebrating so many things, especially traditions you didn't grow up with, can be challenging. Also fun, but do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, it is challenging, but like you said, also fun. So I think it's super important to introduce both cultures to your children. So like not just one over the other, or not more of one than the other. I think making sure that you continue to speak your language. So like, you know, I speak Spanish, and actually, ironically, my husband also speaks Spanish better than he speaks Punjabi. And I'm always like, see, it was meant to be. But okay, so that's beside the point. I'm getting off track here. So I think it's important to keep, you know, that language in your home, and, you know, so that your child can be bilingual or even trilingual if you're, you know, both of you speak a different language. Talking about your history and telling family stories, making sure that you talk about both of the parents' cultures. So I think it's super easy for parents to get caught up in the trap of emphasizing only one culture that is exotic or foreign, that the partner from the country that you live in or the country that is more common kind of gets forgotten. So like I told Jason, I said, if I wasn't Mexican and I was just, you know, white from here, you probably wouldn't even ask me anything about me, you know. And I think it's important to, you know, go back to your roots and find out where you came from. If you, you know, are from Europe, or if you have ancestors, you know, or you can do like that DNA testing and stuff, but just, you know, get an idea of where you came from, and not, you know, value one over the other. Let's see what else. Visiting your home country, which my kids have been to Mexico. They've never been to India, but Jason actually has never been there either. His dad goes pretty often though. Let me think. What else? Fostering relationships with your parents or with their grandparents. I feel like grandparents are super important in instilling your culture with your mixed race kids. And they carry so much of like the history and traditions and language. Like sometimes I tell my mom to only speak Spanish to the kids so that they can, you know, learn it more. So things like that, just surrounding them with food, culture, music. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
What a cool experience your kids are getting to have so many different, such a rich culture.
So I told Ava, I said, you're super lucky because you get to have a quinceañera, but you also get to wear two different kinds of dresses. So she can wear like the traditional Mexican, you know, like princess Barbie kind of dress. And she can wear like an Indian lehenga or like an Indian suit. Yeah. So I was like, you get to do both, you know? Yeah.
Is there a comparable ceremony in the Indian culture too?
I think it's more of when you turn 21, it's like the big one. So I know Jason had a big 21st birthday and his siblings had big 21st birthdays. So like that's the big one for them, but we're definitely doing a quince for Ava. So yeah, I just think it'd be cool to have like, you know, like both kinds of musics, both foods, both dresses, that kind of thing.
Can I come?
Yes. Yes, of course. We can talk about it. Yeah. I'd love to.
I had such good friends that were Mexican growing up and they got quinceañeras and I was so jealous.
It's super fun. Yeah.
It's such a cool tradition. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this was so great. Thank you so much for being here. Can you let our audience know where they can find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. I'm at the Montessori Life. And it's Montessori because that's kind of like my area of expertise with the Montessori method of teaching. And then actually my husband was the one who came up with that Instagram name. He's like, why don't you do the Montessori Life?
Like, I love a pun. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can find me there. And then I do have a Facebook and that's just, if you just type in Denizia, nobody else will come up. It'll be just me. I promise.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.